It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Dr. Sekou Gathers. Welcome to Monday Mocha. I'm most excited to have a physician on board. You're my first physician.
Really?
Now, it's
shocking.
It's your turn to kind of lie down on the couch. I know you're not a therapist.
I'm not used to this.
So the first question, this is a chill chat. It's like we're having coffee, but you don't drink coffee, which is actually my first question. What do you drink in place of coffee?
In place of coffee, I drink tea. I drink green tea, ginger mint tea, lemon ginger tea, and regular ginger tea.
Would it just be easier just to have coffee? You wouldn't have to regulate on the tea so much. It's a lot of tea you're drinking.
You know, it depends on what's going on, you know, the mood. And sometimes I just drink it just to relax, but most of the time I actually drink it for medicinal reasons, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
One thing that I've learned moving to New York, I've got a friend who grew up in Brooklyn.
You live in New York now?
I live in New York.
Wow. You're a New Yorker.
I try to be. Well, a part of my acclimation to New York, I'm trying to learn some language from the hood. Now, I know that you might be able to shine some light on this, but my friend from the hood teaches me all these sayings like the children mean gay people.
Okay.
But she taught me something in reference to tea going, does she know your tea? Meaning in regards to your sexuality. Have you heard that before?
I have not heard that.
There you
actually.
Go. See, I'm imparting wisdom.
Yeah,
this is my job.
Spill the tea is the.
What's spill the tea?
Spill the tea just means, you know, tell it. Tell what's going on.
So if I try to say that, will that be okay? Is that kosher?
Absolutely. Yeah. You and your girl sitting around you and you're like, spill the tea. Just spill it. Just let me know what's going, you know, what's good, what's really good, what's going on.
All right. Well, that's lovely education for me. I love how my knowledge is expanding in the space of 2 weeks. So the next question is something I like to ask all of my guests because it kind of tells me how honest they are.
Oh, Lord.
Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Now, as a physician, do you warn people to wash their phone hands before and after?
No, of course not. So now I wash my hands before I touch my phone.
That's good. That's very good. And, like, what is this phone time restricted to? Do you take phone calls in there? Do you do text messages? Is it only restricted to text? Do you watch Netflix in there? Like,
I'm not in there sitting down. You know, I'm usually in there looking probably. It's funny you asked me this. I could be responding to a text, but more than likely I'm just looking up something on online. That's all.
A lot of people have said they go into the toilet for some phone time for research purposes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Just a little something, you know, just keep the mind going as things are flowing.
As things are flowing.
You know? No, just you know, just letting it loose, letting it all out.
All right.
Helping the process.
Okay, wonderful. Now that we know your intimate bathroom secrets, tell me, what is your morning routine when you wake up? What's the first three things you do?
First three things I do. Number one, I do deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, hopefully, with fresh air. The fresh air is very oxygenating, gets inside the body and invigorates.
Why do you do that to deep breathe?
Well, just what I said, that the oxygen content of fresh air reinvigorates the body because one of the ways that we make energy in the body is through oxygen. So if you hyperoxygenate your body, you're basically giving yourself a better chance of having more energy. So I do that. And then I do that for 10 minutes, and then I meditate for 10 minutes. And then I do another sort of I do some affirmations.
Yes.
So those are like, I guess all of those will be one thing. The second thing I'm doing every morning, especially now, is taking my daughter to school. And the third thing, I don't know, go to work. You know, come back and work on my screenplay.
Okay, that's your routine. So tell me, who are the five closest people you surround yourself with? Because they say it says a lot about yourself as a character. So give me a sentence about each of these people. and name the top five people that you surround yourself with very closely.
You should have gave me these questions in advance.
This is the whole idea. This is part of my plan.
All right. The five closest people. Now, when you say closest, do you mean like the people that I speak to the most, the people that I relate to? Like, what do you mean the five closest? Because, like, I mean, obviously my wife, I'm around her more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Okay, we can maybe put Corinne on the side. Yeah,
okay,
sorry,
so,
Corinne.
Sorry, and Corinne. So
yeah, you're never on the side. Yeah. You're always the number one woman.
Yes.
But just for this purpose, like, who do you surround? Who do you draw inspiration from? The five people around you that
five.
Kind of fuel your fire, so to speak.
Does it have to be people I know?
Not necessarily, but
okay.
Preferably.
Oh my goodness! All right. So first person I'll think about is Anthony Watkins. Anthony's been my friend for 20 years. He's a transplant surgeon. And one word to describe him would be innovative.
Right.
My the second person would probably be my other good friend, Prentice P.L. Sweets Thompson, who I've known for about 10 years. And the thing I could say about him is unlimited creative potential.
Gotcha.
The guy is super creative. He's a musician and a filmmaker. Number three, let's see. I'd say my father, Victor Gathers, and only from the standpoint of he taught me, I don't want to even say dedication, but he taught me how to be consistently focused on one thing.
Right.
Number four. This is hard, Jeannie.
Yeah, well.
Let me see the five people who
see,
are.
See, if you had a mocker, you'd still be feeling better.
See, I, under normal circumstances, I have time to think about this and just write it out. You know what? I'm going to pick somebody I don't know.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington.
Oh.
And the reason I use D.
Oh, you're on D basis
D.
now.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. We're on the first, we're on the not even hyphenated. We're just on the first letter basis.
It's still Mr. Washington for me.
Oh,
I'll get
yeah.
there.
You know, it takes time. You know, it takes time.
Spill the tea on Mr. D.
Thing I like about Denzel is that from a creative standpoint, he's been able to, well, I'll say the one word that, to me that describes him is multifaceted. And I think that kind of speaks for itself, but he's pretty awesome. And the last person, I'd say Damien. D. Lemon, the thing that I would use to describe him would be confidence, and not just confidence, but continuous and uninterrupted hustle. There we go.
Uninterrupted hustle.
Yes.
There's a term to coin.
Yeah, he doesn't stop. I've watched him put himself in very uncomfortable situations, meaning he worked in corporate America, he had a very comfortable job, and he left that to pursue his passion. And I really respect him for that. And now he's been reaping the benefits, but the benefits continue to be reaped over time, more and more. So I'm proud of him for that. So he's an inspiration for me.
I like how you said that he continually puts himself into uncomfortable situations, because that's a great segue into my next question. What is the most uncomfortable position you've been in? And it could be like an awkward conversation that you've had to have, but what is an awkward conversation or an uncomfortable conversation you've had to have?
The most uncomfortable, awkward conversation I've ever had to have?
Yeah. Was it to a patient?
No, it was probably, I don't know if it was this awkward or uncomfortable, but can I say difficult conversation?
Yeah, difficult. Difficult's awkward, too.
The most difficult, awkward conversation I've ever had to have probably was with my first wife when we had that conversation where I knew it was over.
Ooh.
You know, that last conversation where, you know, I asked her a specific question and the way she answered, I was like, yeah, it's done. And it was like at the end of, you know, all drama and turmoil, a bunch of drama and turmoil. But that was the final thing for me. And, you know, it hurt, but I knew that it was over.
Did you feel a sense of relief at the time or eventually after that?
A sense of relief. It wasn't too much. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm extremely relieved now. I think at the time it was more like anger and angst. It wasn't really, you know, a whole lot of relief, because I knew that it was going to be a long process. You know, that this wasn't going to just go away. you know, she wasn't just going to float away into the ether. there was a process that was going to have to happen in order for it to, you know, reach its finality, you know, its real finality.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know if this is, again, a segue into the next question, but have you ever had a friendship that you've outgrown? And what would you say to people who are going through the same thing? What advice would you give them?
Yes, I have. Yeah. And what I would tell people is something that my therapist told me. So I can't claim to own this. But she said, and it's so true, that people have the right to choose who they want in their lives.
Ooh.
And it's so true. So if somebody decides that either through their word or action that they no longer want you to be a part of it, just let it go. That's it.
Yeah. Let it go.
Let it go.
Okay. I love how when people throw Disney into these podcasts, it's like magic for me. Well, you kind of, speaking of hustle, which D Lemon, you heralded him for being such a great advocate or a great example of hustle. You're quite the hustler yourself.
Hustle.
You're a physician. Yes. You have a podcast. Who has the best producer in the world?
Yes, my name is Jenny.
Funny that. Best name in the world, too.
Right, right.
You also, you're doing some film projects.
Yes.
What is it about these creative projects that make you feel alive or make you feel worthwhile about doing them? Because obviously you're a busy dude. You don't have to do these.
Right.
And I'm assuming, as I'm just taking my knowledge from Australian salaries and converting it to New York doctor salaries, I'm sure you're on a pretty comfortable living, let's just say.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm thinking there is maybe some madness behind this or Patrick.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about money. Number one, you can't take it with you.
No, you can't.
Right?
No.
Number two, I know a whole lot of rich people that are unhappy and unfulfilled and angry and emotionally unstable.
Wow. Right?
So money's not the answer.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it's I think the second, it's not even to say, I haven't finished the first half of my life. I think I'm going to live to be 100. So when I get to 50, that'll be the first half. So in this closing out the first half of my life, you know, my mission now is about really my motto, which is one life to live. You know, you're here one time. If you believe in reincarnation, that's fine. But you're still here in this space one time. And when you're here, you need to live it to the maximum. And I think not to the maximum from a standpoint of being reckless. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, go bungee jumping every weekend. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that things that pull on your heartstrings, and it took me a long time to really figure out what I was supremely passionate about. I mean, art or being artistic has always been in my life. I mean, I went to, I played the viola for over 10 years. I went to Fiorella H. LaGuardia High School for Music and Art. Otherwise known as the Fame School.
As
people know it because they had the TV show and the movie. When I graduated from medical school, I started producing music. You forgot to say I was a music producer. I started producing music. And
Too many talents for me to remember.
I had been doing that for a while and still continue to do it, but now I make music for my film. So
yeah.
Creativity is not anything that's left me. I just think that my ability to acknowledge that artistic side of myself, appreciate it, and then do it, as James Brown would say, do it to death or do it to my maximum potential, has now come to me. So I'm ready, willing, and able to take on that challenge of living my full creative life. And in terms of the acting or the filmmaking, well, it combines two of my favorite loves, which is writing and acting. The writing, I've always been a good writer, if I may say so myself. And so I at some point, a couple years ago, I took acting at the Lee Strasberg Institute for about a year. I studied and really gained a great appreciation for the art of acting. People think that individuals just go in front of the camera and then they just magically, you know, make this role come to life. There's actual techniques and tactics and talent that's needed in order to be able to give a performance that's believable and where the emotion of the person is expressed to the point where you're expressing it in front of a camera through the lens and then through a television and through all those different filters, a person can still feel something. I think that's pretty amazing. So I'm not saying I'm the greatest actor, but I definitely obtain an appreciation for it. And so that combined with the writing made me realize that I really want to focus on directing.
That was a great, great explanation. Money versus passion and everything like that. Totally dig that. One of the things that you did recently was you gave an awesome rant about the state of Hollywood with all these allegations coming out with Harvey Weinstein. And you made a good call there that the thing is, obviously, what Harvey Weinstein allegedly did or Kevin Spacey did, whatnot, it was horrible what they did.
Right.
But it's actually getting to the point where we're starting to vilify the individual, where you were talking about it's more of a systematic problem. Can you expand on those thoughts?
Sure. I mean, what I was talking about on the podcast was the issue is whenever something happens, people typically just look at the individual, point at them and say, you bad person, right? You're a bad person. And then they vilify them, throw them in jail or fine them or do whatever they can do to sweep them under the rug. But nobody looks at the bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that there are no or very, very few women in decision-making capacity in Hollywood, those people that are able to greenlight projects. And so you end up having a disproportionate system where the man is on top, the woman is not, and things like this can happen. If there were more heads of studios that were women, then these types of situations wouldn't happen because a woman wouldn't end up in a hotel room trying to pitch her script and ends up getting pitched a penis.
Pitched a penis. There is a quote board.
Would you like to look at this? Would you like to hold
That's
this?
That's not my tea, Sekou. It's not my tea at all. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for elaborating on that, Sekou. So
absolutely.
To wrap up a couple of last questions.
Sure.
So tell me, you told me about your spiritual practice. If there's some advice you can give to people, say if you could give advice to your 20-year-old self or the 20-year-olds out there now, what would it be?
If I can give advice to my 20-year-old self or the 20-year-olds out there, it would be to slow down. Slow down.
Slow down.
Take a minute and slow down. You know, assess your life, assess what's going on around you, assess how you're feeling, and take note of it. Because the inside and the outside is trying to tell you something. And if you don't listen, then you end up making decisions that are not in your best interest. So slow down.
Because people think nowadays that they don't have time. I think Buddha has said, the problem is you think you have time. I know there's all these quotes, mindfulness quotes about that. But I think, especially in the youth, there's this fear with the way that they operate. It's like, I don't have time left.
Let me expound on a little bit. When I say slow down, I don't mean, you know, you're supposed to be at work at 9, get there at 10. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that when you have moments, right, because we all have moments, and a lot of times what's happening now is we fill those moments with distractors. So, you know, internet, television, things that are not really, you know, necessarily going to fulfill you. I mean, some of it can, but when you have those moments, you know, instead of watching, binging on Game of Thrones for 3 days, you know, maybe binge for one day and then take, you know, a couple hours on day two to just evaluate and assess what you're doing, what's happening outside of you, what's happening inside of you, and how does it relate to what you want or what you feel like you want as a person. It's so difficult because I feel like a lot of these introspective questions and a lot of these techniques that I'm talking about now, we never learn. And so you go through all your education and you gain all these facts. You learn how to add, you learn how to subtract, you learn how to write, you know how to conjugate, you know, what a predicate is, what a noun, verb, adverb, all those things are, put them together. You learn all these things, but very, very little emphasis is put on what's the internal world, what's going on inside. And so I think that, you know, in your 20s, it'd be great if you could start this process because, shit, can I curse on this podcast?
Well, now you did.
When I was 20, I mean, you know, I didn't know my, as they say, asshole from my eyeballs. So I was, I did not know, you know, who I was. And I think if and I was able to take some of those moments, I probably would have made different decisions. I don't regret anything because clearly I needed my path to bring me to where I am now. Mm. So I don't regret anything. At the same time, what I'm going to try to teach my daughters are some of these things. You know, take time. How you feeling? What's going on? You know, one thing I will say, you know, that one great tip that my mom gave me when I was growing up was, she would, whenever I would get in trouble or whenever something happened, and I would start pointing at the outside. Well, this person did that, and da-da-da. She would always say to me, "Well, how did you contribute to that?" And I always thought it was a great question. And so it sort of started me on that path of introspection a little bit.
Accountability as well. Yeah.
You got to take accountability for what you're doing. You know, the action that you're taking. Because as much as we try to play the victim role, you know, 95% of the time we have some involvement, even if it's small.
Well, one of my spiritual teachers said to me, what you're talking about, she teaches as victim consciousness. It's when you get to that state of mind where you tend to look outward for blame or responsibility without going inward. She explains victim consciousness in a way that victims can be some of the most dangerous people on earth, because when you're in that state of victim consciousness, sometimes it lasts for 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 months, or your entire life. Hmm. And when it gets to that state of your entire life, that's where it gets dangerous, because you think, because you're hurting, it's okay for the rest of the world to hurt. That's where it gets difficult. So I think it's great that your mother kind of put you on that path of introspective, because it's one of the most powerful tools to have.
Yeah. And sort of looking outside, like, you know, playing. I mean, look, and I'm sure you know these people too, Jeannie, but I know people that are 50, 60, 70 years old still playing the victim game.
Oh, talking absolutely.
About, oh, well, this person, like, no, they didn't. Stop it.
Yeah. It's like, how dare they? Just like, well, you contributed it to it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what role? Because sometimes, you know, it's like two things can be true at the same time. That person could have done that to you, and also you could have contributed, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. I hear. Well, Dr. Sekou Gathers,
yes.
It has been a pleasure to
have
you on.
Oh, my God. Monday Mocha is over already? Monday Mocha is a mouthful.
See,
Monday Mocha is over already?
If you had a coffee, this could have gone for another 10 minutes. But you know what? Let's go back to the tea. But absolute pleasure. Make sure you check out the Truth Prescription podcast. It's at every other Monday. It's an awesome dosage of truth.
Yes.
And you get all this wisdom and insight every other week on a Monday.
Yes,
so check it out.
Please do.
Monday Mocha with Jeannie Sarasvati.